I want to warn you, I'm not kidding. Between last Sunday and today, my sermon has been rendered illegal. You think I'm kidding? You haven't been listening. A preacher's always looking on how to get the congregation's attention when they're preaching. On Wednesday, an executive order was signed, and you're free to leave on me if you want, saying that any criticism of the nation of Israel will bring the wrath of the federal government signed by Trump. Now, I want to ask you what are you going to do, Pastor Dave? What are you doing? I want you to know what kept the gospel free in this country. You know what it is? The Bill of... Who gave us those Bill of Rights we learned about last week? Who? God. The right to free speech and freedom of religion. I'm about to read to you some scripture that's going to violate an executive order of our president. If you think I'm blowing smoke, you better learn what's happening in our country. I call for a boycott of Guatemala. I call for a boycott of Egypt. I call for a boycott of Lebanon. I haven't done anything wrong right now. But if I call for a boycott of the nation of Israel, guess what happens to me? I bring the wrath of the federal government. I'm about to read a scripture verse of Jesus that also is now in trouble because of this. Turn to John chapter 15. And I want to show you. John chapter 15 verse 18. And then we'll go to Acts. Have I got you mad at me this morning? Are you listening? Good. Anytime the federal government says I can't say something or call for something is a violation of free speech. And when you violate free speech, they're going to come for Christians soon. Jesus said this, everything we're seeing in the book of Acts regarding the disciples after Jesus' resurrection and the nation of Israel, Jesus told them it was going to happen. John 15, 18, if the world hates you, here's the question, who is the world in this verse? Well, particularly in reference to John, who is Jesus speaking about as being the world? Carl, you know, the nation, the religious leaders. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me. Did the Roman government hate Jesus? Didn't even know about Jesus at the time. It was the nation. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember this word. A slave is not greater than his master. Who's your master this morning? If they hated and persecuted me, they will also persecute who? Well, who's the they? It's the world. Who's the world? The nation. All these things they, who's the they in verse 21? They will do to you for my name's sake because they do not know the one who sent me. Who are the they that don't know who sent Jesus? If I had not come and spoken to them, who's that? The nation. They would not have known sin, but now they have every excuse for their sin. He who hates me, what? My loyalty is to Jesus Christ, and I don't care what group. If you hate my Savior, then you hate me. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, who among whom did Jesus do these works? condemnation. They would not have known sin, but now they have both seen and hated me and my Father. But they have done this in order that the word may be fulfilled. They hated me without cause. These things I have spoken to you, 16:1, that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the what? Have we seen that in Acts? Have we seen that in Acts? The church, the Jewish church, grouped together because of why? They were tossed from the synagogue. They shared things together. Why? Because they were isolated from their community of support. What happened to Stephen? Now we come to Acts chapter 11. Chapter 12 of Acts. Who did they just kill last week? Who killed him? The nation. Why? Because they're of the world. Why? Because they hated Jesus. Why? Because he told them they had sin. They didn't like that, did they? No one likes it. Doesn't matter what nationality, no one likes it. And says in verse 3, now, and when he saw that it pleased the Jews, what pleased them? Killing Jesus' disciples. Why did they do that? Because they hate Jesus. He proceeded to arrest Peter. Who do you think's behind the killing of Jesus' disciples? It isn't the nation as much as it is whom? The God of this world. Where do you think that hate comes from toward Jesus? It isn't merely human. John taught, Acts teaches that the God of this world hates the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a spiritual dimension of utter Luciferian hate that hates the Lord Jesus Christ. They killed James. They did it by show trial. They put him to death with what? That's public trauma. That's why they execute people in public years ago, because they wanted to send a message. Don't you dare violate what the government says, or we will execute you publicly to send fear into people. That's what they do. It was right at the time of Passover. It was unleavened bread. They arrest Peter because he's going to do the same thing to Peter. But listen to me. It's not so much the nation as it is what behind the nation. Anytime you have a hatred of Jesus Christ, it's not merely human. What is it? It's Luciferian Satanism. Because the God of this world controls it. And when he seized him, he's going to make sure. You all know that in Acts chapter 5, they put all 12 apostles into prison. And guess what happened? The very next day, they were out preaching. So Herod knows, I'm going to make sure with every resource I have that Peter is not going to escape. I'm going to kill the leader, the spokesman. And I'm going to do it in front of all of the people that have gathered for unleavened bread in Jerusalem. And this would have been a public execution. Beheading of Peter. Why do you think they want to publicly execute people? Send a message. That's why Al-Qaeda beheaded people. Let me speak against them as a right of free speech. Not only that, but he gives his 4 squads of soldiers. 4 to a squad. The penalty for losing a prisoner in that day was not increase in your retirement benefits. They executed you. That was the penalty. So the 4 squads are to ensure Peter doesn't escape like Acts 5, so they can have the public show trial. Because they hate whom? And who's behind the hate? Intending after Passover to bring him out before the people. Public execution. All the looky-loos want to watch Peter get it. So Peter was kept in prison. But please note verse 5. But prayer for him was being fervently made by the church to God. The early church was a church that prayed. Did they really believe what they were praying? I want to ask that question to you. Yes, they were fervently praying, but have you ever prayed that God will do something, but you don't really truly believe that He will do it? That's very human. And we'll find out if the early church really believed what they were asking God to do. And on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, listen to me, Peter had no chance. Four squads chained to soldiers. The penalty if they lost him was death. On very night, why did God wait till the very night before they brought him out for execution? This is the same Peter, by the way. Remember Peter before? This is Peter who was warming himself by the fire at Jesus' night of betrayal and execution. And a woman heard his Galilean accent. She says, "You're one of those Galileans that are with Jesus." And what did Peter do? Solidly cursed and swore and denied Jesus outright. Jesus said, "The worst thing you can do for me, here is the worst sin that a person who professes Jesus Christ can do," Jesus said, "is deny me before men." Now, I understand the weakness of the human flesh. But Peter did that publicly with a great deal of emotional denial. But here is Peter now. In verse 6, Peter was sleeping. Do you think the Peter of old? I don't know him! Would have been sleeping? What made the difference between the Peter of I deny him versus the Peter that... What? No, not faith. He saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. He was perfectly confident that his Lord had been resurrected, glorified, was alive, and he knew that he was set for glory. That shows you there's a witness to the resurrection. Peter was sleeping because he found his comfort in the resurrected Savior that he knew. "Touch me, see the scars," Jesus told them. He's sleeping. Being bound with two chains every time he moved. Their chains clanged, he was still sleeping. He's chained to two guards. Two guards are at the door, everywhere. Ain't no getting out of here, Peter. I'm going to kill you. Man thinks that he can outmaneuver God. Everything is absolutely over for Peter. Ain't no getting away. They got you, Peter. You're going to die. You're going to die publicly. Remember now, Jesus had said, "Peter, one day there's going to come a time in which you're going to put out your hands," in John chapter 21. "They're going to take you where you do not want to go, to your execution," is what Jesus was talking in John 21. Peter doesn't know that God isn't going to have this as his final say. He's sleeping. He's not sleeping because he's some spiritual giant. He's sleeping because he knew Jesus Christ was resurrected and that God had raised his son from the dead. And we're watching, and suddenly in verse 7, an angel of the Lord appeared. You know what that tells you? Well, Mr. President, you can sign any executive order you want, but if God so chooses, the gospel will remain free. And that nothing that man does, if God does not want it to succeed, God will not allow it to succeed. And if God wants to, Hebrews reminds us that God is, we have entertained angels unaware. Do you know that? Hebrews 13:2. Is there an angel here with us this morning? I know Yadid, so Yadid, I got to say, I'm not so sure. God is still in the supernatural business. Ain't no way, if God doesn't want Peter's death, that Peter is going to die. God will remove. Look what happens. And a light shone in the cell. You'd think that would wake the soldiers up, right? I don't know, when that light hit, they just stood there, didn't see, probably see anything, and they are completely stunned into, they're out of it for some reason. You think prisons can hold God's people if God wants them out? You think chains can hold God's people? That's what God, that's why this story is here, to let you know. It doesn't happen often. James died. Where were the angels for James? It's your time, James. But if it ain't, don't discount what God can do. And suddenly, light. And he struck Peter's side and roused him. You'd think with that kind of shining light that that would have woken Peter up. Instead, to me, that tells you either Peter was the best sound sleeper or he's... Something's changed that man into perfect confidence in the plan of God. Because this was not Peter. And this is only not many years after the trial. And the angel has to literally strike Peter's side. Get up. That tells me one thing. Was Peter expecting an angel to rescue him? He was just saying, okay, Lord, this is hard to do. Like, if you're finished with me, Lord, okay. I have not arrived at that point. I got to be honest with you. I'm a spiritual midget when it comes to stuff like that. He's just relaxed. Okay, Lord, if you're finished with me, okay. And he went to sleep. And the angel had to hit him on the side of the head to wake him up. And I love this. Get up quickly. But how? I'm chained. He's chained to the floor. He's chained with the soldiers. And it says this, his chains fell off his hands. Do you realize that if the world puts chains on you, if God doesn't want those chains, God can remove those chains. That's what this story is telling Christian. Doesn't happen often. I think of Richard Wurmbrand. Remember him? Precious Jewish believer in Jesus Christ. Raised in communist Romania, they used to take cigarettes because he professed faith in Jesus Christ and burn the soles of his feet, give him salt water to swell his tongue, and he stayed faithful to Jesus Christ. Who do you think was behind the burning of the soles of his feet with cigarettes and the giving of salt water to that precious man? Who do you think was behind it? Was it the communist government? Who do you think was behind it? You better start thinking about that. The world is controlled by whom? When you see the gospel defeated, it isn't mere men. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Church forgets that. We become rationalists. And the angel said to him, gird yourself up, put on your sandals. What would you do if an angel told you to do that? I'd still be so stunned. I'd just be kind of, you know. And he did so. And then he says, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. That's interesting. Take your coat with you. The angel could have kept him warm without the coat, but take the coat with you. Leave no trace that you've even been here. And he went out and continued to follow, and he did not know what was being done by the angel was real. How do you like that? How do you know that Luke knew that? Because I think Luke had interviewed Peter. Luke based it on eyewitness testimony. He probably sat down with Peter, said, Peter, tell me about that time. Describe that angel to me. What happened in that jail? Peter would say, you're never going to believe it, Luke, but here's what happened. And he went out, but thought he was seeing a vision. I would be traumatized by this. Do you know if God really does this in your life, you're going to be traumatized? This doesn't happen a lot. The mistake is to say God will always send an angel. No, sometimes, like James, you get your head cut off. But there are times you cannot limit God, that God will deliver. Because if God is living, I love it on the road to Damascus when Saul, the terrorist, was persecuting God's church. What did God say? What did Jesus say to Saul? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute not the church, but what? You realize every time the church is persecuted for the testimony of Jesus Christ, Jesus takes it personally. When he had passed the first and second guard, I mean, I don't even think these guys saw this. They were just sitting there thinking, and they must have gone invisible. They say, scientists say, that if you could change your frequency a little bit, we're all atoms, and there's nothing in atoms but mostly space. As a matter of fact, they say, like atoms, if you could take them to a national world scale, many atoms are like Los Angeles from New York. The core is in Los Angeles, the outer electron in New York. There's this great space in between. We're really a lot of empty space, even though we feel solid and physical. And God must have changed the frequency or blinded the soldier. Something happened to where they're going through 16 men. How do you do that on a normal human level? You don't. They came to an iron gate. By the way, you ever go to a grocery store? What happens when you go to that, walk right to the front of the grocery store? The doors open without you touching them. It wasn't the first time in history that ever happened. Look what it says here. The gates open for them by themselves. Spooky. I love this, what God did. Jesus said, I'm going to even open the doors for you, Peter. You don't even have to worry about, no gate can hold you, no guards can hold you, no chains can hold you if God doesn't want it. If God wants it, they can hold you. But if he doesn't, God can defeat that. And they went out and went along one street. And the angel departed from him. Bang! Gone. Wouldn't you have wanted the angel to at least be with you as a security guard for a while? Well, God was still protecting, even though he couldn't see the angel. Okay, Peter, now that you're out. And Peter came to himself and said, now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. So what have I just done by reading that verse? Violated an executive order. Well, you can keep your executive order. I'll preach the word of God. And when he had realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John. That's probably the John Mark that perhaps wrote Mark. Where many were gathered together, and what were they praying for? Peter's release. That's what I love. God is very clear in his word that we're all human. Yes, they're fervently praying, but honestly, there's an indication they didn't expect God to do what they were praying for. And when he had knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, by the way, Peter spoke with a Galilean accent. So it was very distinctive, Peter's voice, somehow. How y'all doing or something? I have no idea. Because of her joy, she did not open the gate. Well, what are you praying for? Peter's release. Open the gate. No, we didn't expect God to do that. But he ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the front of the gate. And I love the church's response. And they said to her, "You're crazy. You're out of your mind. Wait, what are you praying for? God will release him. He's released. He's at the door. You're out of your mind." Isn't that the way we think? I like that story because it reminds me we're all human. We all hope, but God can answer prayer. He didn't always send angels, but you'd be shocked at what God can do. But she kept insisting. And so what'd they say? They went and said, "Well, it's his angel. It's his spirit. He's probably been executed and his ghost is haunting us." No, that's what they're saying. He's dead, man. We're praying for his release, but we know he's dead. But Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door, they saw him and were what? You know why that story is here this morning? God doesn't always do it, but if so orders it, God can send his angel and reverse any circumstance of this world. Who controls this world? Who controls every nation? Who can override any nation? Not the president, but the Lord Jesus Christ can override any nation. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had let him out of prison. And he said this. Look what he said. "Report these things to James and the brethren." And guess who you are? Well, you're not James, but who are you? Huh? You're the brethren. He wanted you to know this story. He wanted to tell you that even though things may look very bad, and it doesn't happen often if God so wants, he can send an angel. Now that day came when there was no small disturbance among the soldiers as to what would become of Peter. I mean, they didn't see anything. What's the penalty for losing your prisoner? And when Herod had searched for him and had not found him, he examined the guards. Now that word examined, it's not like they would do today. Bring the guards in, sit them at a table, put a light on their face. He tortured them. This is what people did in that day. Thank God. Except for waterboarding, they don't do this today. He tortured them. "What did you do? Did you let him go?" And look what it says. "In order that they may be led away." The penalty for losing your prisoner was this. What? Now, think about that in God's sovereign plan. God cares so much for his people that if it has to be the prisoners or the guards who took him, God let them say, "Okay, you held my messenger." They had to pay the ultimate price for it because God loves his people. God knew this resulted in the death of soldiers. And he went down to Judea, to Caesarea, and spending time there. But 20 through 23, and I think I have time to get through it. You know, You hate Jesus? You hate his people? God has a unique way of fixing that. Look at verses 20. Herod, representing the nation in 20 through 23. Now, Herod was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. And you don't want to make Herod angry, because what can Herod do to you? And having won over the king's chamberlain, they were asking for peace because the country was fed by Herod's people. And on the appointed day, Herod put on his royal apparel. Why do you think rulers wear royal apparel, have certain look to them? Who said that? Excellent. Thank you. You're a rebel just like I am. Kings wear crowns. Why? To make you think they have authority over you. It's a psychological operation. Although when the cops do pull you over, you'll feel that psychological operation. They were picking up people today on 126, I'll tell you. And he began delivering an address to them. And here's what people do that are under the horrific punishment of bad government. What did they do to win Herod over? And the people kept crying out, "The voice of God and not of man." They began to ingratiate themselves. Sycophants is the fancy term for suck-ups. But God is using this because you touch my people. Listen to me. You touch God's people. And who do you really touch? The Lord Jesus. A God and not a man! And this is what I'd like to see more often with our politicians. Divine retribution. Look what it says in verse 23. And immediately, what? An angel of the Lord struck him. Why? Because he did not give God the glory. Wouldn't you love to see all political parties face that consequence for the lies? For the way they have one rule for them, and they can violate all sorts of laws, but if you, a commoner, does it in our country, you go to jail. If you take FISA reports and change them and all that we've seen, just so you don't know where I stand politically. And then it says this, God not only struck him for trying to kill Peter and taking out James, God is not mocked. It says this, and he was eaten by what? Ooh, what a way to go. It's slow. It's agonizing. It's not pleasant. How do you like that? Why did Herod go out that way? Why do you think Luke included that? Because Herod dared persecute God's people and his church. And Jesus takes it personally. And woe to you of the world that persecute the people of God, the true people of God. God struck him. Wow. That's quite a story.